Welcome to this Red Meat and Wool Growth Program podcast, brought to you by the Department of Primary Industries and Regions, Livestock SA and Animal Health Australia.
Restocking. Unless you're able to do it through your own breeding program, you're going to have to look to buying stock in, which then requires a range of considerations. Everything from documentation right through to how you introduce the new stock onto your property. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and to delve into this further, I'm joined in the PRSA studio by Dr. Rob Barwell, who's Senior Manager Biosecurity with Animal Health Australia. They're the independent national animal health company that brings together government and industry. Rob, thanks for your time.
Well, thanks for having me on, Drew.
Rob, you're a vet by background. How did you end up doing that and then moving on to Animal Health Australia?
Yes, I did a vet science degree and practiced for about a dozen years in Australia, England and Hong Kong. I guess the choice of that career comes about because I grew up on a sheep and cattle property in the New England region of New South Wales. Having practiced for quite a few years, I really wanted to deal with the bigger picture, I guess, rather than dealing with issues one animal at a time. I could see value in doing projects and work with livestock industries and governments that help to actually target those big issues that are right across the industry. So I guess, you know, benefiting many animals or the whole livestock industry rather than individually.
Rob Barwell, you've obviously got dirt under your boots then and really understand the livestock sector in Australia from a first-hand perspective of being a vet, but then also internationally must have given you a nice insight to the importance of biosecurity and its fundamental importance to access markets overseas.
Yeah, Drew, look, I definitely, in some of the practice that I did overseas, got to see some of the diseases that are exotic to Australia, and that included foot and mouth disease in the UK nearly 20-odd years ago, as well as some particularly nasty things like screwworm fly in Hong Kong. And, you know, Australia's fortunate to not to have these types of things or nor have had them occur. And I think it's really important that we keep them out. You know, there's certainly some very significant market loss that could result if we were to get these things in. Yeah, and we're a very export-focused country. And a foot and mouth disease outbreak would be hugely detrimental to our sheep, meat, goat, pig industries. And, you know, I think that just gave me a little bit of valuable insight as to what we're trying to avoid.
Let's drill down into that a little bit further then, Rob. The sheep and beef industry has been through a period of restocking recently. What are the options producers consider when restocking their properties?
Yes, conditions have changed and suddenly people are looking to bring animals on instead of destocking. Look, it will depend on the hurdle flock that someone has. You know, some people are in a fortunate position with closed herds or flocks and a position to build up their own numbers of animals, but they're probably the minority. Most producers will have needed to look at buying in stock now that the seasonal conditions have improved. And obviously we've seen some high prices for sheep and cattle as a result. People will have different things in mind for these purchases. It could be anything from improving their herd or flock genetics to just buying in some stock to utilise that feed that they now have available. But it's a real risk at this time to the existing flock or herd that people have managed to hold on to, as most diseases and pests and issues might arrive when new animals are actually brought onto a property.
So what are the questions that producers should then ask of vendors when purchasing livestock?
Yeah, Drew, look, that'll depend a little bit, I guess, on where someone's, you know, buying those livestock. You know, it could be through sales from sale yards, etc. But in general, you know, it's always best to obtain as much information about the animals as possible. Knowing some of the history of the animals and their source may make a huge difference to, you know, what occurs back on the farm when those animals touch down and are introduced into the existing flock or herd. For some people, they might already buy most of their animals or all of their animals from trusted breeders or sellers of stock. And so they may be happy with the knowledge that they already have. You know, they're confident in that source. But where livestock are coming from, you know, a new source, then producers should be asking for an animal health declaration, which provides a pretty good baseline of biosecurity and animal health information. But they should also probably ask further questions about, you know, the animals and any issues in particular that they might be interested in avoiding. The health decks do have quite a bit of information on some of the diseases for those particular species, but they're not exhaustive. And so there could be other things that someone might want to ask about.
Well, you've mentioned their animal health declaration in terms of, you know, documentation. Are there any other forms of documentation producers should be seeking when purchasing livestock?
Yes, national vendor declarations are a must-have. Basically, anyone who's participating in the Livestock Production Assurance Program, LPA, yeah, will need to use the LPA NVDs for movement of animals to their properties. And they've also got the waybill component, so they're used as a movement document as well. So that's really important. Animal health decks, we've already talked about as an important document to obtain, and that is recommended in LPA, but also mandatory for sheep to be moved into and within South Australia with a National Sheep Health Declaration. And then for those who might be sending sheep interstate, they're also mandatory for sheep moving into New South Wales. So they're really important documents. There are obviously various ways you can obtain them. They can be printed from, you can get books of the NVDs or print the various health decks from the Farm Biosecurity website. There's also now the ability to fill in these documents through the electronic NVD system that Integrity Systems Company looks after.
Asking the questions, the first point, then the documentation, then finally you get them onto your property. What then do you need to consider when you're actually introducing livestock onto your property?
Yeah, look, this is a critical period, Drew. You've done the deal and the animals are arriving. Really, it's important that the animals are viewed, you know, as or soon after they arrived. You know, are there any signs of lameness or other issues as they leave the truck? It's much better to try and address some of these issues if they're found really early on after touching down on the property than after they've spent, you know, a week or weeks on the property. It's important to keep them initially in a holding paddock or a large yard to empty out, and, you know, give that a sort of day or two for the possibility of any sort of weed seeds, etc., to be emptied out and not be spread around the property. You may want to implement treatments at this stage based on what you know about their history, which hopefully will obtain through the health declaration. Also, you know, other questions that you might have asked, and things that people might be doing at this stage could be a quarantine drench. They might need to update vaccinations if they're things that haven't been done and they consider good practice for the property, foot bathing of sheep, depending on their source, etc. It's probably also then good to keep those animals separate from the main flock or herd for, you know, a period of time. I guess 28 days is probably not a bad suggestion, although there are some diseases and things that are, you know, have a longer incubation period than that. But at least that period should see most of the obvious things crop up if they're going to appear. One exception might be foot rot, which, you know, for sheep, that might mean that you need to keep those animals separate from your main flock until the next sort of warm, wet period when it's likely that you could see the spread of foot rot at that stage.
Rob, what are the top three actions that you think producers can either stop doing, start doing, or change in terms of improving biosecurity?
Yeah, look, I think everyone's really aware about biosecurity now. You know, we're all living through a biosecurity issue in the human sphere, but on properties, I think everyone is also aware of biosecurity for animals and probably has a plan in place. But I think many of them maybe aren't as fit for purpose as they could be and maybe not being reviewed and used as regularly as they could be. Ideally, these biosecurity plans need to be tailored to the property and, you know, they should be dynamic documents where, you know, there's action plans in place that any issues can be addressed in an ongoing fashion. Very few properties are going to have the perfect biosecurity plan in place. Most people find that there are a few things that they identify in the process of developing them that they could probably improve on, you know, in the next 12 months. And look, I think the other thing, as we've already said, just make sure that you obtain the appropriate documents when you're bringing on stock and isolate them for a suitable period of time. Certainly, as they say, prevention's better than treatment for many of the diseases that we're trying to prevent.
Rob, we've probably only really skimmed the surface in some regards. Where can those listening go to for more information?
Yeah, Drew, there's a lot of good info available out there now. If you're just after general biosecurity information, the Farm Biosecurity website has a lot of good stuff, including biosecurity manuals, plans and health declarations. Department of Primary Industries and Regions in South Australia has a lot of good information about biosecurity, in particular diseases and programs, on their website. And then in South Australia, you can contact the South Australian Livestock Biosecurity Extension Team or local government vets or animal health officers for support in implementing or understanding biosecurity. In other states, there might be different resources that people can call on, but they are there.
Dr. Rob Barwell, Senior Manager Biosecurity with Animal Health Australia, thanks for joining me in the PIRZA studio today.
That's okay, Drew. Thanks very much for having me on.
To find out more information or get support in implementing better biosecurity within your business, contact your local animal health advisor from the Department of Primary Industries and Regions or the South Australian Livestock Biosecurity Extension Team through the Livestock SA office. The Red Meat and Wool Growth Program is an initiative of the Government of South Australia and supported by Meat and Livestock Australia, SA Sheep and Cattle Industry Funds and Sheep Connect SA.